I'm Eric Rosales. Tonight on EWTN News Nightly, Day of Diplomacy. Ukrainian leader Vladimir Zelensky meets with the U.S. envoy as President Trump meets with the leader of NATO. We're at the White House. New wave. Search efforts resume in Texas after another bout of heavy rainfall. We'll have the latest conditions on the ground. Gifts from God. Pope Leo delivers his first Angelus address from his vacation residence. Hear what he had to say about hope of eternal life. These stories and much more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you so much for being with us on the feast day of St. Kateri Tekakwitha. Our top story tonight, 50 days, that's how long President Donald Trump is giving Russia to get a deal done to end the war in Ukraine. Now, if that doesn't happen, then the president will punish Russia with new tariffs. The president made the announcement today during a meeting with the NATO Secretary General. For the very latest, let's check in with White House correspondent Owen Jensen. Owen.
Eric, good evening to you. President Trump said today he is very unhappy with Russia and is warning of severe secondary tariffs, but adds he hopes he doesn't have to do it.
We want to see it end, and I'm disappointed in President Putin because I thought we would have had a deal 2 months ago, but it doesn't seem to get there. So based on that, we're going to be doing secondary tariffs if we don't have a deal in 50 days. It's very simple.
President Donald Trump says he will set tariffs against Russia at 100%, targeting Russia's trading partners in an effort to isolate Moscow in the global economy. This after previous attempts to end the war in Ukraine failed.
And they're biting. And I hope we don't get to the point where we do, but I've been hearing so much talk. It's all talk. It's all talk, and then missiles go into Kiev and kill 60 people. It's got to stop.
President Trump also announced a plan to supply Ukraine with more weapons. Europe will provide the military equipment, then pay to buy replacements from the U.S.
This is really big. This is really big. So what we will do is work through the NATO systems to make sure that we know what Ukrainians need.
President Trump wants to leverage an end to the war.
We hope that's going to have an impact on Vladimir Putin. And we hope it's going to have an impact on Ukraine also. We want to make sure that Ukraine does what they have to do. All of a sudden, they may feel emboldened, or maybe they don't want. You know, this is a very difficult situation.
President Trump's special envoy, Keith Kellogg, met with Ukraine's president today in Kyiv. Volodymyr Zelensky says Russia will not stop unless its ambitions are stopped by force.
President Trump says he speaks to Vladimir Putin a lot, but now says the talk doesn't mean anything. President Trump says he wants action. At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you very much, Owen. Well, joining us now is Dr. Daniel Hamilton from the School of Advanced International Studies. Dr. Hamilton, thank you so much for joining us. First off, you know, President Donald Trump confirmed top of the line weapons will be sent to Ukraine in the operation coordinated by NATO. I mean, this is something that we haven't seen and a complete turnaround from before, correct?
Well, it's a turnaround for the president. U.S. had been supplying those weapons to Ukraine until the Trump administration took office. But it is certainly an attempt now to pressure Putin, and it's an about face of President Trump's approach to the conflict, and he's sort of taking sides now. But 50 days, you know, is a long time in a war, and the Russians are engaged in a summer offensive, so they can do a lot of damage in 50 days still, so we'll have to see really how this plays out.
And the weapons to Ukraine and the threat of 100% secondary tariffs on Russia, now this is going to put the pressure to get a deal done, correct?
Well, one would think, although Putin hasn't shown any indication that he's backing down from maximalist demands. He's never said he wants a deal with Ukraine. He actually just wants Ukraine.
Right.
And so we'll have to see whether we're back to some real problem. The sanctions, you know, are 100% on Russia, perhaps, and then what are called secondary sanctions on any country that would be trading with Russia. So that's very extensive. That's basically most of the world.
It certainly is.
That's a serious step.
I mean, this is going to hit really hard, like places like China and other people who use Russian oil, correct?
Yeah, it's a well, China, you know, has been supporting Russia's war effort. They're supplying them with all sorts of technology and things. So this is a major message to China. But it's also a question about Russia trying to evade the sanctions currently through all these shadow ships, and they're sending oil around the world. Turkey, even a NATO ally, India are major, you know, depositories for this oil. So it will have a ripple effect everywhere if we get to the 50 days. But we'll see what whether that's happening. I should say the Europeans are adding their own sanctions as well. And Europe has much more extensive economic ties with Russia than we do. And so if you put that together, then that's a very, very big blow, potentially.
Yeah, this is the fifth time this year that Trump has threatened Putin with economic sanctions. And the first time, and the first four times, the president failed to follow through. And now this time it is going to be different.
Well, he has the support of the Congress. You know, Senator Graham, Republican from South Carolina, and Senator Blumenthal, Democrat from Connecticut, have a bill ready to go with about 80 senators supporting it. The president said he'd sign it, which gives him the authority to do all of these things. But they're delaying it also past the Senate recess. So it's not something now that's going to happen until the fall. That's why the 50 days plays into this. But that's a, you know, a bipartisan, very strong U.S. message together with our European allies, helping Ukraine, now providing weapons through NATO to Ukraine, and then threatening Putin to stop or face the consequences. That's a serious message.
It is certainly a serious message. And with Congress behind it, both Republicans and Democrats, we're going to have to wait and see, but we'll leave it right there. Dr. Daniel Hamilton, the School of Advanced International Studies, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for being here. Thank you.
The Israeli army says it struck military tanks in southern Syria. This comes as clashes continue to escalate in the region. Well, dozens have been killed after fighting broke out between armed groups of the Druze and Sunni Bedouin clans. Some members of the Syrian government security forces participated in support of the Bedouins. Israel has previously intervened in defense of the Druze religious minority, which the Israelis see as loyal. In a show of solidarity, senior church leaders gathered in the village of Taibeh in the West Bank to denounce violence from Israeli settlers towards Palestinians. Among the leaders present was Cardinal Pier Battista Pizzaballa, the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem. Taibeh is made up of entirely of Christians, and they say Israeli settlers have become more violent towards them, setting fires in towns and making their day-to-day life more difficult. Religious leaders are calling on Israel to investigate.
La unica legge è quella del potere.
The only law in the West Bank is that of power, of those who have the force, not the law of rights. So we must work for the law to return to this part of the country so that anyone can appeal to the law to enforce their rights.
Since the Israel-Hamas war began in Gaza, Palestinian residents in the West Bank have reported a major increase in violence by Israeli settlers. Nine are dead, and an investigation is underway after a nursing home goes up in flames in Massachusetts. This was a scene at the Gabriel House Assisted Living Facility last night in Fall River in the southern part of the state. When firefighters arrived, heavy smoke and flames could be seen coming from the building. 30 people were also injured and being treated at a nearby hospital. The cause of the fire at this time is unknown. The Kerr County, Texas Commissioner's Court has had its first meeting today after more than 100 people died following the deadly July 4th floods. Officials are asking for patience as recovery efforts move forward.
Emergency management, it's a process. And you do it one step at a time. And you work through it one step at a time. We're trying to get a handle on things. So just be patient with it as we go forward.
And this comes as a search for the missing resumes after a new round of severe weather led to high water rescues elsewhere over the weekend. Local officials went door to door in Kerrville on Sunday to warn residents that flooding was possible once again. Authorities believe more than 160 are still missing in Kerr County alone. For more, we turn to Captain Tony Dickey, chaplain of the United States Cajun Navy, a non-denominational support group. Captain Dickey, thank you so much for joining us. First off, we heard a lot over the weekend about a lot more rain in the affected areas. What does it look like right now?
Yes, sir. Unfortunately, there was a lot of rain, which caused a red alert all the rescuer searchers had to be pulled out of the area simply because there was a lot more, another wall of water coming down 3 to 4 feet high. And so for everybody's safety, we pulled everybody out and suspended the operation until the area was safe.
And tell us a little bit more about the work you do. I've actually met you before at a number of other hurricanes that I covered, but you provide some sort of spiritual guidance out there, do you not?
Yes, sir. We're actually, Dean, we do spiritual and emotional first aid right there on the field. As you can tell, I'm holding this is Hope. Hope is my comfort therapeutic weighted bear. We bring hope. Our hope is in Christ. And we comfort these people because their faith is what will get them through this. And Hope, therapeutically, whenever they hold it, it's called a touch therapy system. The neutrons in the brain are activated that creates chemicals that helps offset that depression, helps heal the emotion. Just as the Holy Spirit gives us hope, hope is what they need right now in the form of their faith.
Sir, just talk to us a little bit about what the people are going through right now. I mean, we've seen devastation and the loss of life there. And, you know, what are they going through? What's the mood like there amongst all the people?
It's an emotional, traumatic event for that community. Trauma is beyond belief there. You have those who have fortunately had loved ones recovered and funerals have started. Then you have those who are waiting on that phone call minute by minute. They want to get that phone call that their loved one has been found. Then you have the search and rescue guys. Mm. They put themselves in such an emotional, traumatic area there that put yourself out there as a rescuer. You're clearing a debris pile, and all of a sudden you pull a limb back. There lays a child, an adult. Are you going to go home and sleep that night? No.
Yeah,
but
no
this,
kidding.
They're going to impact them forever and ever, but they're willing to bring to do that, to bring that loved one home. They put themselves in an emotional risk, and they don't worry about that. They say, got to handle it, got to take care of us. We got to get these loved ones home.
Captain Dickey, you certainly are doing the work of Jesus out there, the hands and feet of Jesus. Captain Dickey, thank you so much for joining us, Chaplain of the United Cajun Navy.
Thank you so much for having us. Lord bless y'all.
And we certainly bless all the people involved in the recovery effort. Well, today, the U.S. Supreme Court gave another big win to the Trump administration. Earlier this year, the president started mass layoffs, said the Department of Education. One of his campaign promises was to dismantle it. However, a lower court halted the effort indefinitely. Well, today, in a 6-3 decision, the U.S. Supreme Court lifted that ruling and allowed the layoffs to continue. The Senate committee releases a report on the attempted assassination of President Donald Trump 1 year to the day of the events in Butler, Pennsylvania. In the report, lawmakers describe it as a, quote, cascade of preventable failures by the U.S. Secret Service leading up to and during the shooting.
Mistakes were made that day. The report from the GAO as well as the Senate reports indicate that there were serious failures in communications and the allocation of resources. Under the Biden administration, the Secret Service simply was not responsive to the request, not only of the Trump campaign, but the head of his security detail.
One spectator was killed and several more injured by the gunman, Thomas Matthew Crooks. The report blames Kimberly Cheadle, then head of the Secret Service, for denying requests by the Trump campaign for additional resources that day. The report took issue with her testimony at a congressional hearing days later, concluding that Cheadle, quote, falsely testified to Congress that no U.S. Secret Service asset requests were denied for the Butler rally. Senator Rand Paul, who released the report, accused her of making false statements before Congress.
Vance, we found at least 4 occasions, actually maybe 5 occasions, where requests were made. The primary request that was made by both Trump's Secret Service detail as well as his campaign was for counter-snipers. Counter-snipers were denied until Butler.
Cheadle pushed back against those charges, saying in a statement, quote, no request for additional support had been denied to our agents at Butler. Any assertion or implication that I provided misleading testimony is patently false. Senator Paul said the report also found that people in charge of security pointed fingers at each other for the failures. Pennsylvania Democratic Senator John Fetterman marked the anniversary by posting, quote, 1 year ago in Butler, PA, it was a stark reminder of the awfulness of political violence that plagued our country and still does. We must condemn political violence in any form and turn down the temperature. We are all Americans.
Late last week, the Secret Service suspended six agents on site that day without pay. Meanwhile, House Republicans are pushing a resolution marking the attempted assassination, condemning political violence, and honoring the victims. Well, we still have a lot more to come on EWTN News Nightly. It hasn't been done in over a decade. But this weekend, Pope Leo XIV celebrated Mass in Castel Gandolfo. We'll take you to the Italian lake town. And a student from the University of Notre Dame is fighting world hunger, and he's doing it with the help of a major TV show. We'll introduce you to Austin Barron. Welcome back. President Donald Trump says he ended the radical left war on faith and that he's protecting religious freedom like never before. Speaking at the White House Faith Office Luncheon in the state dining room today, the president addressed business leaders discussing the importance of religious faith and freedom and giving back to the country. He joined them in prayer. The White House Faith Office called the event more than just a luncheon, but rather a moment of divine alignment.
But it's because of the patriotism and goodwill of citizens like you that America remains strong and faithful and free. And together we're going to continue the fight for Judeo-Christian values of our founding fathers.
The president also hailed the business leaders in the room for being outstanding in faith. Pope Leo has been staying at his summer residence in Castel Gandolfo for a week now, and there he celebrated his first Holy Mass in Angelus in the town. Locals and pilgrims expressed great joy at seeing the Pope return to greet them, saying something like this hasn't happened in over a decade. EWTN Vatican journalist Magdalena Wolinska Reedley has more.
It was a day of celebration for the lake town of Castel Gandolfo. The last pope to greet crowds of faithful at the papal summer residence for the Sunday Angelus was Benedict XVI in September 2012, 13 years ago. Now, Pope Leo XIV is reviving the tradition to the joy of locals and visiting pilgrims.
There are more and more people coming to offer him a warm embrace. He, too, is among the crowd and is always very approachable. Even today, he demonstrated this by arriving in the minicar, passing through the streets of the historic center until reaching the parish to celebrate Holy Mass.
The Sunday Mass took place at the Church of St. Thomas of Villanova, an ex-territorial pontifical church. At Mass, Pope Leo reflected on the parable of the Good Samaritan, who the Holy Father explained is really a figure of Jesus, who regarded humanity with compassion and did not walk by.
Saint Augustine tells us that, as the Good Samaritan who came to our aid, Jesus wanted to be known as our neighbor.
After the solemn Mass, Pope Leo joined the pilgrims on the square, leaving many speechless with excitement.
It's amazing, you know, that's the Vicar of Christ, you know, and it's just amazing to me to be here. I don't know. It's a lot of words to describe it, you know. It's amazing.
During the Angelus prayer, Pope Leo thanked the people and authorities of Castel Gandolfo for their very warm welcome and reminded Christians that we gain eternal life by caring for others in service and love.
In Christ, God made himself a neighbor to each and every man and woman. That is why each of us can and should become a neighbor to all whom we meet. Imitating the example of Jesus, the Savior of the world, we too are called to bring consolation and hope, above all to those who are experiencing discouragement and disappointment.
Faithful from all corners of the earth, gathered joyfully to see the Pope, among them groups of pilgrims, priests, families, and students.
It was such a delight to see Pope Leo. We are so grateful that he's taken up the mantle of Leo XIII, addressing fundamental social challenges. He's a wonderful pope. So our students are here. These are just some of them for the summer program. All of our students at the University of Dallas spend a semester on our campus just down the road from here.
Next Sunday, Pope Leo will celebrate Mass in the Cathedral of San Pancrazio in Albano, formerly Cardinal Prevost's titular church, and lead the Angelus before returning to the Vatican. Pope Leo XIV will return once more this year on August 15th to celebrate Mass for the Feast of the Assumption, following the tradition of his predecessors. In Castel Gandolfo, Magdalena Wolinska-Riedi, EWTN News Nightly.
Up next on EWTN News Nightly, it's the feast of the feast day of the Saint Kateri Takakwitha. So who was she? We'll let you know. Plus, he's an American ninja warrior, and he's fighting world hunger, and his faith is at the root of it all. We'll introduce you to Austin Barron. Great story here. A rising sophomore at the University of Notre Dame is spending his summer trying to end global hunger, and he's doing so with the help of dog toys and a network TV show. Austin Barron is set to appear at tonight's semifinals in the American Ninja Warrior, and he's hoping to use the appearance to raise money for his nonprofit that provides meals to children and disadvantaged families. So far, his not-perfect group has delivered 100,000 meals to needy children and families. Those who donate in person receive a handmade dog toy. EWTN's Mark Irons recently spoke with the Notre Dame sophomore.
Joining us now is Austin Barron. First off, tell us how you are using your appearance on American Ninja Warrior to help fight global hunger.
So the whole reason that I go on American Ninja Warrior is to advocate for an end to world hunger. When I was younger, I went to a meal packing event, and I learned that the meals I was packing with my own hands would be the only food that someone else has to eat, and that a billion people go to bed hungry each night. And I really want to do something to help them. So I started by making dog toys and gave them out to people who donated to help me feed the hungry. And then with American Ninja Warrior, I'm also doing the same thing where I'm taking something that I love to do and using it to help feed the hungry and advocate for an end to world hunger.
And I understand this isn't your first time on American Ninja Warrior. What happened during your appearance a couple years ago on season 15?
On season 15, I was so close to finishing the fifth obstacle. And then I would just be the word fall away from hitting in my first buzzer. But unfortunately, I came up a little short, but I still moved on and made it to the semifinals, which was racing. And I went a little too fast and fell early, unfortunately, but I'm so grateful for the chance to come back to compete on season 17.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people are curious, what has your training been like for the semifinals?
Well, I've been at a college a lot recently, so I've been training at the Duncan Student Center. There's a rock climbing wall, so I've been training there. I've been doing pull-ups on the pull-up bars around campus, and I bought some balance obstacles from home that I've been training on.
And Austin, we know you have won awards from the Virginia Knights of Columbus, among other faith-based groups. So has working on Not Perfect, your group, had an impact on your Catholic faith?
I would say definitely my faith had a big impact and is what encouraged me to start my nonprofit. Feeding the Hungry is one of the corporal works of mercy, which is something that we talk about a lot as Catholics. And just growing up in my Catholic faith, that really made me want to do something to help other people. And I thought serving others was something that was really important to me. So I thought that feeding the hungry would be a good way to do that.
So what is next for Not Perfect? Do you have any other projects or appearances planned?
Well, I'm going to be on the semifinals of American Ninja Warrior. And I plan to continue making dog toys to keep doing Ninja Warrior. And I'm praying to God, discerning what he wants me to do next.
Quickly, if people would like more information, Austin, where can they go?
If people want more information or if they would like to donate to help me feed the hungry, they can go to notperfect.org with the K. And this year, youth in my hometown are trying to pack their 1 millionth meal this year through the Youth vs. Hunger event from Cross Catholic Outreach. What I really love about these events is that youth as young as 5 are able to come and pack meals. And when I did that when I was younger, it really encouraged me to go out into the world and to serve others. And I want to give other youth that same opportunity so that our world can become a place where people are dedicated to serving others.
Keep up all the great work for the common good. Austin Barron, rising sophomore at Notre Dame, who's trying to end global hunger through the help of American Ninja Warrior. We'll see what happens. Austin, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Way to go, Austin. Well, finally, tonight, as we mentioned earlier in the newscast, today is the feast day of St. Kateri Takakwitha, canonized in 2012. She was Native American and known as Lily of the Mohawks. She was born in upstate New York in 1656, and when she was a child, a smallpox epidemic took the lives of both of her parents, left her with permanent scars on her face. At the age of 11, that is, she met some Jesuit priests and later was baptized. St. Kateri refused many marriage proposals, and she preferred her devotion to the Blessed Sacrament and a simple life of constant prayer. Now, during her life, many miracles were attributed to her. She died at the age of 24, and witnesses say within minutes of her death, the scars from her smallpox vanish. St. Kateri, Lily of the Mohawks, pray for us. We want to thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Eric Rosales. Have yourself a wonderful night. Y vaya con Dios.